I thought that I was just, I don't know why, but I thought that I was just tired. You know, this morning, I was interceding for Brother Clint. And after that, it felt like I didn't have any gas. And I was thinking, oh, man, I need to build up my spiritual muscles. But then Brother Sutton got up here tonight, and he said that how many feel like the enemy is pushing back? And I was going to tell Brother Sutton that I felt like a hand was saying, this far and no further. Don't go any further than here. But so many times I've had a dream that there was an adversary that seemed so muscular and powerful. And when we begin to lock arms, the adversary would fall backwards. And it didn't have the strength that I thought it had. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that He is Jehovah. He is Jehovah. I'm here to tell you tonight, go ahead and press forth. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight that the enemy is flexing his muscles. Glory to God. But I'm here to tell you tonight that there is nothing holding him up. That when you push forward, there is something behind you. There is something that's greater than he that is in the world. Glory to God. How many know that he is Jehovah? Glory to God. Somebody say he's Jehovah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on and worship with us as we sing. He is Jehovah.
You are Jehovah. And I worship you.
You are Jehovah.
You are Jehovah.
And I glorify you.
And I glorify you.
There is no other.
There is no other.
No other God like you.
No other God like you.
Your name.
Jehovah.
And I glorify you.
And I glorify you.
There is no other.
There is no other.
No other God like you.
No other God like you. Your name.
Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift him up a little bit higher.
up a little bit higher.
Lift up the name of
Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Lift up a little
bit higher. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Make it up in your mind that you're not going to stop right there. Somebody make up your mind that he's not going to hold you back any longer. Somebody make up your mind that this is the last day that he's going to intimidate you. You got to make up your mind. You got to have the moxie to stand up to that devil and say no more, that we're going to take the devil. We're going to take the gates of hell. Hallelujah. We are going to run to the gates of hell. We're going to snatch him off the hinges and run with him. Come on.
Lift up the name of Jesus.
Come on, lift him up higher.
Lift up the name of Jesus.
Lift him up a
little bit higher. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Lift him up
a little bit higher.
Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid. That's right, brother. For a text tonight, we'll go to Haggai. We're bouncing back and forward between Zephaniah and Haggai. We're about to make our way out of the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1. I'm not going to finish this tonight. I'm just going to have a step in for a moment. Haggai chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1. Remember always when you're reading these prophets that God has put up with Israel from the Exodus and all of their moaning and groaning and complaining and dying in the wilderness all the way down now to the dawning of their captivity, Haggai is one of the post-exilic prophets. And so Haggai is working with the remnant that came back, straggling back out of judgment in Babylon. When you read these Old Testament prophecies, glean instruction and glean correction if it's there for you. But don't ever apply God's judgments against Israel and Judah against the church of the living God where you're living right now. You make a mistake to do that, because they have elevated apostasy and backsliding and paganizing to unheard of levels. They're having temple prostitution. They're worshiping Baal in the house of God. Be careful that you don't try to draw the hammer of God's judgment against Israel into the house of God around you. You've got to walk a long time in disobedience to achieve the level of reproach that Israel has brought upon itself. So as we begin to read this tonight, don't embrace this as a dynamic negative in your life and begin to feel guilty about the blessings of God in your life. And don't begin to feel like, this is a word for me, God hates me. And it is a word for you, but you're not Judah and you're not Israel. We're students of the Word of God, and we want to find what we can that's able to translate to this New Testament era. Haggai chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. These people are back in the land after 70 years of captivity. And under Joshua here and under Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah, the city's going to be rebuilt. The walls will be rebuilt. And eventually, the temple of Zerubbabel, which will be the temple that Jesus walks into 500 years later, that will all be accomplished. But when they first got there, they were so consumed with rebuilding their life, their home, attaining their dreams, reclaiming their possessions. Their coming to God was all about what it was going to do for them. And here he says, you say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O you that dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put in a bag with holes. He said, you're really working for yourself, but you don't have anything to show for it. And it seems like you're always chasing your tail. And you just never can quite get anywhere. And that's not new with you. It was that way among God's people. Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Verse 8, go to the mountain, bring wood, build the house. He's talking about his house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is waste. And you run every man to his own house. We're looking at God's teaching priorities to Israel and to Judah. And he's saying, never let your house be the chief focus of your life. But if I could reach into the New Testament and begin to teach this already, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things. Is there a witness in the house tonight? Has anybody come into that revelation? He said, because of my house that is waste. Verse 10, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. He said, I'm holding back what you might have because I want you to build my house. There is a corollary between what you experience in the natural and what you lay your hands to in the kingdom of God. Verse 11, I call for a drought on the mountains, on the land, on the corn, on the wine, on the oil, and upon that which the ground brings forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and on all the labor of your hands. Chapter 2. Are you okay standing? I'm really going to turn you loose here in just a minute. You don't believe that, but I really am. Chapter 2, verse 15. Now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were when one came to a heap of 20 measures and there were but 10. He's talking about their harvest. You should have gotten 20 measures out of that field, but there were only 10. And one came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels. Talking about the oil press for the olive oil. But there were but 20. You thought you were going to get 50, but there were but 20. And I smote you with blasting and with mildew and hail and the labors of your hands. Yet you turned not to me, saith the Lord. He said, now, verse 18. Now consider from this day and upward, from the 24th day, you can put it on your calendar. From the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. And he's asking them now, is seed in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. When you make a decision to build up the house of God, God steps in and makes a commitment. I will build your house. When you step in and make a commitment to build the people of God, which are truly the house of God, then God steps in and says, I have committed myself to build your people. You don't know, I'm already preaching. I'm already into this tonight. When you make a commitment to build up the people around you in the house of God, God says, I'm going to build you. When you make a commitment to raise up something in ministry and in the kingdom of God, there's a voice in the back of your head that says, yeah, but I need to be doing these other things. And yeah, but I need to take care of these other things. But is there a witness in the house tonight that will say, as I laid my hand on the work of God, God began to lay his hand on my life, my home, my family, my business, my activities. And all of a sudden I saw that there was a cosmic correlation between seeking the kingdom of God and what goes on in my life. My God. This is the word in the house tonight. This is the word in the house tonight. We dedicated a baby this morning. I'll tell you again tonight. You don't have him in the dress tonight. But I'll tell you tonight. As you set your heart and your affections on the things of God, God will set his affections on your wife and on your children and on the work of your hands and on your storehouse and on the things that you purpose in your life. And you've got to be diligent and you've got to be a good steward and you can't be an idiot about the things of your home and your family. God's not going to cover for you because you're lazy or because you shirk your responsibilities, but God will step in and grace will cover you. And there'll always be plenty, and there'll always be a blessing. And God, my God, I feel Holy Ghost in this house tonight. This is a revelatory moment for this church.
We've got people that minister wall to wall in this church, but the Holy Ghost is calling somebody else to step up and say, I want to be a part of this. I want my name on this. I want my family in this. I want my home to be affected and influenced by this. Does anybody know that little is much when God is in it? Has anybody found God multiplying the efforts of your hands? Has anybody found God opening a door for you when the door was closed for others? My God, is there a witness in the house tonight? Is there somebody that can say it is the word of God and it is true in my life? Hallelujah. In this passage, this is a book of judgment and a book of restoration. But the underlying principles of the word of God are still true. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed a begging bread. God, he said, Dwan, he said, if you give, he said, it's going to be measured back to you in a reciprocal way. How you give, that's the same measure that I'm going to measure out what I pour on you. If you use a teaspoon, if you use a thimble, but if you get the biggest thing you can find and pour it out on the people of God and pour it out on the children of God and pour it, and I'm not... My God, you're so finicky about your money. I'm just talking about your ministry, and I'm talking about your life, and I'm talking about your talent, and I'm talking about your time. We need all hands on deck. We need everybody stepping up in the house and saying, I'm going to help build this thing. I'm going to help prepare this thing. I'm going to be a part of the solution in this house. Praise God. The operative term in the New Testament is edify. Edify just means to build. It's from the same root word as edifice. It means to build. God has given you a fivefold ministry in your life. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles. So that they can equip you. The King James says, for the perfecting of the saints. But the better word there is for the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. So you, Mariah Malott, can do the work of the ministry. So that the body can be edified. So that we build up the body. We've got more young people right now working in Sunday school than we've ever had before. We've got more people with their hands on Vacation Bible School than we've ever had before. We've got more people working in the youth committee than we've ever had before. And we need more hands on deck. And we need more nets to cast into this city. My God, the Holy Ghost is ringing an alarm, and the alarm is going off, and it's saying, it won't be long, children. Gabriel's already got the trump in his hand. We're getting close to that great getting up morning. What kind of work can we do before he comes? It's so easy to settle down in the pursuit of the American dream. This, ironically, is one of the most difficult places in the world to live for God. Because the same thing that choked and plagued Israel and drove them into ruin again and again and finally into destruction and scattering all over the world was the blessing of God. Was the blessing of God. And I know we sing songs. Say, I'm going to get my blessing. And some people come to church and say, I'm coming to get my blessing. But could I redirect your focus? Could I suggest to you that the blessings are ancillary to your pouring yourself into the kingdom of God? Don't come looking for a blessing. Come looking to serve. Don't come looking for a blessing. Come looking to
to be a blessing. And as the little widow woman makes the cake for the prophet, her cruse of oil and her barrel of meal are touched by God. And as the Shunammite builds the room on her home for the prophet, with a little bed and a little table and a little lamp, as she makes room for the kingdom of God, God touches her life. And she who was barren brings forth a child. And the story is replete throughout the Word of God. God bless you. We've already had one altar call here. Could we gather as a church family? Why don't you get with your family tonight? And if you don't have a family, could you adopt somebody? Now, you know, if you're first, you got to get up on the steps because people are going to be in a traffic jam in the aisle. When you get your family there, just begin to tell them, we've got 5 months left in this year. We're going to serve God. We've got time for revival. We've got time for ministry. Come on now, begin to pray with one another. Begin to pray for that family God's given you. Begin to tell them what kind of household this is going to be. Begin to tell them what kind of family we're going to be in the kingdom of God. Of what God is doing. If you're a mom or dad in that circle, I want you to lay your hand on your family, lay your hand on your wife, lay your hand on your children. Come on, Dad. Be the Levite in the house. Be the minister in the house. Lay your hand on them and pray for them. Give all your loved ones a great big hug and tell them how much you love them. Tell them how glad you are to be in the kingdom of God with them. Praise God. Why don't we give God a hand praise of worship and magnify his name?